Good morning, New Life family and Facebook world. Welcome to worship today. Today is Palm Sunday. We're on just a few minutes early to give you a chance to come on live with us. And if you're here, do me a favor and just say that you're watching. I can see a few of you are coming on. Hi, Zach. Hi, Vicky. Thanks for watching today. If you would be so inclined to share that we're live on your Facebook page, that's a great way for people to connect with us, and so I would love that. Paula and Karen and Tammy, thank you for joining. This is probably the only time that churches ever start early is Facebook Live. There's Lauren. Hey, there I am, or my wife. Thanks for being here today on this Palm Sunday. One of the things that I have enjoyed here as I've been on Facebook even this morning is just tuning in to different churches as they're live and hearing their worship and participating as a way to join in. What a great day that it is that the internet just gets flooded with the good news of the gospel. So we're excited to be a small part of that today. I'm just giving time for everybody to check in. I'm OCD enough. The clock has to say 10 to start. It's 10. Well, the wall clock doesn't say 10. Well, welcome to worship. Today is Palm Sunday, and we are just a week away from Easter as we're beginning this journey with Jesus into the final week of His life. We're glad that you have joined us today. We'll be celebrating the fact that today Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey to bring us peace. If you have kids who are baby through kindergarten age, they're starting a brand new series today that will last all month called Bloom. And the theme that will be every week is that Jesus is alive. If you have elementary kids, they're starting a new series this week, and they're kid lessons, and that is Upside Down, that Jesus teaches us the way of humility. And it just might be that you really want your kids, in the midst of living with them, to learn how to be humble in the midst of this, and so we invite you to do that. Those lessons, video lessons, they are available in our weekly lifeline, in our weekly email. And so if you want to be part of that and are not, simply send us a message and we would be glad to get you a part of that email list. But the link will be shared down below in this comments, and so thank you for doing that. I've been reminded this week that even though we're not able to meet physically and the church doors may be locked and shut and closed, that God is still on the move. That the church is never restricted to His building, but the church is His people, you and me, and I'm thankful for that. I found out through an email this week of one of our grateful parents of our teenagers. They were telling me about how the youth group has continued to meet via Zoom. And here's what I love most about that is that there was no direction given other than Zach and Kayla took it upon themselves to find their own way to lead. And that's what leaders do. So I just want to give a big shout out to them. I also found out that Hannah Phillips has been working to email out scripts for VBS that we're hopeful will be all this will be cleared and have. But the Custer family at 10 o'clock, I believe on Thursday night, were sitting around the table rehearsing their parts already. And so I'm excited about the ways that God is moving and we're continuing to find ways to serve Him. I want to say a thank you to those who have continued to give faithfully in tithes and offerings to us. Your support is very much needed in these times, and we want to say thank you. There are two ways that you can continue to give. You can give online. Go to our website, trynewlife.com, select the Give tab. You can give a one-time gift or set up reoccurring giving, and we certainly invite you to do that, and I know many of you have started to do that. You can also mail us a check at 4188 Wintree Drive in Newburgh. That is checked frequently, and so we're sure to get that in. Again, thank you for your faithful giving. It makes all the difference during this time. And I'll say what I said last week. We give to God not because things have changed. We give to God because God has given so much to us, and this is a small way. Those two ways to give will also be in the comments below. I'm considering this week, and more will be coming, but I would like your feedback, of holding a midweek Bible study and more like devotions and prayer time via Zoom and an online place where we could actually see each other and talk to each other. If that would be something that you would be interested in doing, please let me know. It would be for about 30 minutes on Wednesday evening, maybe about 6 or 6:30. I feel like it's a time for us to connect together. One last thing as I begin today, I want to say a huge welcome to the residents of Bell Oaks Assisted Living. If you're part of our church, you know that on Sunday afternoons I go over there and I have a service with them. And in light of just what's been going on, I've not been able to be with them. But thanks to their activities director, Chris McBride, they view this. I don't know if they get to see it live. I hope they do. But they do watch the service. And so I just wanted to say hello to all my Bell Oaks residents. I love you and I miss you so much. But just know that I'm praying for you that we can get back quickly to our time together. Well, let's begin today by hearing from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. I would invite you to find your Bibles. If they're not near you, go ahead, go get them. Look up Matthew chapter 21 if you have your phone or tablet and are able to turn to that. I invite you to do so. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray together today. Our Father in heaven, thank you that wherever we are gathered, you are present with us. Thank you, O God, for the way that you have been faithful to us in this season of our life, that the very things that have changed and caught us by surprise, they are no surprise to you. Thank you that you work often in spite of us, but you always work with us too. And you are working and moving in our world today. And so, Lord, we look to you, the Prince of Peace. I pray, O God, you would speak to our hearts. You give us ears to hear. You give us hearts that would receive your word, that it would find good soil. But most of all, give us a mind to think upon you. Give us hands and feet that would obey you and to follow you in this world. We will give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in a time of great deception. Telemarketers will call our phones and solicit us, trying to get us to divulge sensitive information. Emails bomb our junk inbox with links to empty promises and costly consequences. You see, people are always looking for a loophole in the rules and in the laws to get ahead. They're looking for weaknesses in us so that they can pull the wool over our eyes. If we give them an inch, they'll take a mile. All of this has taught us to be suspicious. It has instilled in us to call everything into question. If something looks suspicious, we're told, we better report it. If our gut tells us that something is wrong, it probably is, and we should trust it. If someone makes promises to us, we're told, be sure you get it in writing first. You see, we're living in suspicious times, and we are suspicious of everything and everyone. We're called we are to call everything into question. And this is what Matthew, one of the gospel writers, has done for us. He calls everything into question, including the person of Jesus Christ. And here's the question. Did you catch it? Who is this? The question is rather misplaced, if you ask me. Any good author would put this question at the beginning of the book and then use the rest of the book to try and answer the question. By Matthew placing it 3/4 of the way through his book, it almost makes the gospel itself suspicious. That it almost discredits all that Matthew's been trying to prove all of this time, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Perhaps, though, it wasn't the writer that put it in. Maybe this is one of those editor's choices that they put in, whether the author wants it or not. And its purpose is not to question all that Matthew has been trying to present, but he's asking us to question not the title of Jesus, but the behavior of Jesus. Not to question his position, but to question his ways. What kind of king is this? In ancient civilizations, kings were always fighting. They were fighting to protect what they had, and they were fighting to conquer what they wanted. And when a king had conquered the land that they wanted, he would ride into that city, and it was known as a triumphant entry. After the war was over, victory had come, and they would ride into the city, and those who desired to have their life spared, guess what they did? They bowed down and shouted, "Save us! Save us!" And if the king decided to save them, in turn, the people would serve that king and his kingdom all of their days. You see, this is the kind of parade that the people were accustomed to seeing. But on this day, the king who rode in was not acting like any king they had ever known. He rode on a donkey, the symbol of peace, instead of a horse, the symbol of war. He did not come as a king to exert his power and his might over his enemies. In fact, he came to be handed over to his enemies, to die for them, that he might change his enemies. And he did not come to spare the people from the powers that be who were bowing down saying, "Save us, save us." He came to change them, even without changing the circumstance they were in. And the question is, who is this? What kind of king behaves that way? And that's what made the entire city take notice. This is what put everyone on standby. The stores were closed down. Schools were shut for the year. Churches even ceased gathering because this king was not acting like a king. Who is this? What kind of king behaves that way? Now the crowds, different from those who asked the question, who is this? The crowds had the right answer. They said, "This is the prophet from Galilee. This is Jesus." If anyone knew the right answer, it would have been the crowds. Because Jesus always had a crowd of people following him all throughout the Gospels. And so ever since this king came on the scene, before anyone knew that he was a king, there was a crowd that followed Jesus. This was the crowd that heard the good news of the kingdom proclaimed. This was the crowd who, in Matthew 4, witnessed him heal every disease and sickness among the people. In other words, the hospitals were empty. The doctors were out of work because no one was sick, because Jesus healed every kind of sickness. This is what the crowd saw. This was the crowd who sat at the bottom of a mountain and heard him preach the Sermon on the Mount. This was the crowd that witnessed so many miracles that they started the rumor that this was David's great-great-great-grandson who came to vindicate the city and the nation and to make Jerusalem great again. This was the crowd that gathered on Lazarus' front porch to talk to the man who was dead for 4 days and was alive again. But more than that, to follow and to crown as king the one who was and is and will forever be, resurrection, life, and power. The crowds knew who Jesus was because they had seen it on display time after time, and they knew. They were never told that Jesus was the Messiah, the coming King, but they didn't have to be told because Jesus had shown them. They knew there was no disease He could not cure. They knew from experience there was no storm He could not calm, and there was no demon He could not deliver. There was no blind eyes He couldn't make see, no deaf ears He couldn't open, no lame feet He couldn't make walk again. There was no supply He could not multiply, no person His love could not and would not reach out and touch. There was no sin His grace could not cure and forgive. They knew there was no situation He could not stop, and there was no plan He could not fully execute. They knew there were no miracles He could not perform, and no mountains He could not move. They knew because they saw it, that there was no person He could not resurrect, no grave He could not open, and no death He could not turn back to life. Oh, they knew. There was no one more qualified to be king than Jesus. They also knew that He would never claim that title for Himself. So often after these miracles, Jesus would pull them aside and say, "Shh, don't tell anyone." So this time, the crowds got ahead of Jesus. They went on before Him, and they decided that they would claim the title for Him that He refused to claim for Himself. They went before Him and they cut off branches and they began to wave them and they threw them on the ground. They took off their cloaks and gave Him a triumphant entry. Together, these common people with uncommon courage gave Jesus a public witness of praise that could not be silenced. "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" The word Hosanna, they were shouting, "Save us! Save us from the powers that be!" In fact, the shouts were deafening. What it says is that the whole city was stirred, but the translation of that word actually means the whole city was shaken. It's the same word that's used when Jesus dies on the cross. He breathes His last breath, and there's an earthquake. The rocks split open, and dead people come out of the grave and walk around. It's the same word that when Jesus had been resurrected and the two angels come and roll the stone away, the earth began to shake. Their praise, the volume, the majesty, how much it was magnified was so powerful and deafening that the ground began to shake beneath their feet. You see, for the first time ever, Jesus' voice was silenced by the praise of His people. Jesus could not speak because His people were speaking for Him, because this was their King. And yet we're reminded on this Palm Sunday that in 5 short days, the same ones who were shouting, "Hosanna, save us," were the same ones who would shout, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." So many times we call these people hypocrites, but may we not forget that Jesus didn't condemn their praise. May we not forget that Jesus even stopped and said, "Oh, but in 5 days you'll betray me." He didn't do that, because in this moment their praise was genuine. Their praise was pure. They believed that Jesus was the King because they had seen it. The problem is, 5 days later, this King wasn't acting like a king. This King who they thought would overturn the power of Rome was at the mercy of Rome and died at the hands of Rome. You see, the question when we ask, "Who is this?" it's a deep question. Because really the question is, what do we do with a Jesus who has the title of Savior but doesn't always save? What do we do with the King who is supposed to spare us but He does not? What do we do with that Jesus. It's a question many people have, and a question that we often try and silence in the church. But I believe that there are people who are watching this right now, or will watch later on, who have cried out to God to save. In fact, you grew up in the church. You probably prayed the sinner's prayer and you asked Jesus to save you from your sins because you were taught that Jesus is a Savior who spares us. But somewhere along the line, you've been praying for Him to spare you, to spare people you love from disease, from brokenness, from addiction. You've been praying for Him to spare from what's going on in our world, and it seems as if this Savior isn't saving, isn't sparing us. What do we do with that Jesus? What kind of King is that? When I was a teenager in middle school, I had one of those magic eight balls. Perhaps you did, or you know what I'm talking about. You would ask the magic eight ball a question, and you would shake it. And if you got the answer that you wanted, then you believed that the powers of the universe all aligned and that that was your ultimate answer and that whatever you wished for, it was going to happen. But many of the times, you wouldn't get the answer you wanted, so you know what you did. You just kept shaking it until you got the right outcome. And then you were like, all is well in the world. I was thinking about that magic eight ball, though, and somewhere along the lines, what I realized is it didn't work. And I just stopped using it. I stopped practicing it. I think for many people, they've stopped practicing their faith because somewhere along the line, they have made that request to God. And they have prayed for Him to spare from suffering, from evil, from injustice, and He has not. And somewhere along the line, you've stopped shaking. You've stopped putting your faith and trust in Jesus, and you have set it aside. You see, the question is, what do we do with that kind of Jesus? The place we have to begin is that Jesus never claimed. He never claimed to be a Savior who would save us from every circumstance. He never promised to be a Savior who would spare us from difficulty. In fact, if His own Father would not spare Him, His one and only Son, from suffering, He will not spare us. And what we're reminded of, we must begin with the confession that who we view this Savior as is not who He actually is. That we have a wrong view of Jesus. That what we really want Jesus to be is like that magic eight ball. We sing the song, He holds the whole world in His hands. The truth is, we want to hold our world in our hands, where we can control it, where we know the outcome, so that we can plan accordingly. And if we don't like the outcome, we just find a different way to get there. And we want Jesus to comply. But that's not the Savior Jesus came to be. Jesus came to bring peace. A peace that does not conquer the powers that be, but a peace that conquers the powers that are restless in me. A peace that doesn't give the way the world gives. A peace that gives that is everlasting. That is not shaken in times of uncertainty. A peace that even when we have every reason to fear. A peace that passes all understanding. That is unexplainable, but it is fully known, fully experienced, and can be fully lived. So if this Jesus isn't who we think that we have claimed Him to be, if He is something else, who is it? Let me give you three ways very quickly and I'll be done. This Jesus knows what is ahead. And because He knows what is ahead, we can have peace. You see, Jesus knew what the people were planning. He knew there was going to be a parade in His honor, so He sent two disciples into the next town where He knew there would be a donkey and a colt tied up. He knew the exact location. And He knew what the people around the donkey would say when the disciples tried to steal it. And he knew what answer would suffice. He knew what was ahead, and he made a plan according to what was going to happen in the future. Oh, I feel like preaching right there. You see, if Jesus knows what is ahead, he's already seen it unfold, he can plan in the present for what's coming in the future. Oh yeah, that's good news. That's good news. Don't you think for just one minute that this Jesus a year ago knew what would happen right now? Don't you think that 3 months ago he knew what was coming? And maybe, just maybe, he was preparing us then for what we would step into today? You see, the world now, we're scrambling to try and compensate for all that we weren't prepared for. But the truth is, when Jesus is our Savior, he's already prepared us for what we are about to step into. And because he's prepared us, we can have peace over the future. We don't have to be fearful over the future because the Prince of Peace has come into our present. But this Jesus not only knows what is ahead, this Jesus also knows what is behind. You see, after he predicted the future and knew about the donkey, he then started talking about words that were spoken about him between 400 and 600 years before. Two guys by the name of Isaiah and Zechariah. He knew what they had said. So he looked to the past, what had happened in the past, and he used the past to accomplish his present plan. You see, the good news about our Savior is that there are some who are listening to this. You do not have peace because your past haunts you. The things that you have done, even years ago, you can't seem to shake. Satan is always whispering how much of a failure you are, that if other people really knew what you did and thought and said, they would forsake you. They wouldn't let you in the church. God wouldn't love you. That's what the Satan says. But may we not forget, we can have peace because God knows everything we've ever done. He knows about the past, and his past will not hinder his plan in the present or the future. This is why Jesus died on the cross, so that our past sins could be paid for. So that we don't have to live in shame and guilt of the past, but that he could redeem it for good. And by the way, that also works the opposite way. Some of you may look back and think that you wasted time in a dead-end job. But I assure you, God used that to prepare you for where you are now. You may think that you're in a dead-end job right now, or a situation that is difficult you don't understand the fullness of. God will use that now so that in the future, when what's happening now is in the past, he'll redeem it for good. For God works together all things for the good of those who love him and follow after him. Finally, this Jesus not only knows what is ahead and not only knows what is behind, this Jesus knows what will bring us peace. In Luke's telling of this story, after the day is over, Jesus goes back outside Jerusalem and he goes to a spot where he could look over the city. And you know what he did? He didn't celebrate his new inauguration. He wept. He wept because he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you only knew this day, what would bring you peace?" They thought what would bring them peace was power. But what Jesus was trying to say is, we don't have peace when we have power over our circumstances and can control them. We have peace when we can humbly trust the God who calls us into his faithful plan. You see, if this last few weeks have taught us anything, is that peace is not found in politics. They've not been able to solve the crisis. Peace has not been found in our possessions or money. No matter how much money we have or how little money we have, we can't keep it from happening and we can't bring healing. Peace is certainly not found in sports, because there aren't any on. And it's not found in entertainment, because we can't entertain away our anxieties and fears. What we've learned is that peace isn't even found in a church building, because we're not allowed to gather here. Peace is only found in a person, Jesus Christ. And He has come to go to the cross to make peace with God and us, so that we can have peace within ourselves and that we can live at peace in this world. I want to pray for us today. And as I pray, I'm going to pray that you will know this peace, everlasting peace that God has brought to bring, that God has brought through Jesus Christ. You may be listening and you may have never confessed your sins and you're not at peace with God and you want to do that. I'm going to give opportunity for that. So you may be listening and you act like everything's okay outwardly, but inwardly you are anxious over the uncertain days. You can have peace with God, and I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for our nation that they too would have peace. Would you join me in that prayer? Jesus, You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We look to You in times where You answer the prayers that we're praying. We look to You in times when You are a miracle-working God, when You are multiplying and providing in ways we never thought were possible. But Jesus, we also look to You as King, even when we think You're not acting like the King we want You to be. Jesus, we understand today that You are the King we need. A King who comes not to bring war, but a King who comes to bring peace. So I pray for every person that will hear this or watch this, I pray for peace in their life. And Lord, we cannot have peace apart from You. We cannot have peace in our heart, in our restless soul, where there is sin and unconfessed sin. So Lord, we confess with our mouth that we have sinned. We believe in our heart, Jesus, that You died for our sins. So make us at peace with You and Your Father in heaven. Bring peace inside of us. I pray for those who are anxious and fearful, those who have lost jobs, those who have reduced income right now, those who are sick and fearful. I pray You'd bring peace. Lord, I pray today for our nation. I pray for leaders who are making difficult decisions. And no matter what they decide, there'll be criticism over. Bring peace to them and those who bring criticism. I pray for our doctors and nurses and all of our medical staff and scientists who are working round the clock to bring a cure to this and bring healing to people. God, I pray You'd give them peace in these days. Lord, I pray for those who are losing family members and are unable to be by their bedside. God, may You transcend space and time to unite their hearts. Bring peace to their troubled souls and minds. Oh God, when You come, the earth shakes and it shatters the world as we know it. And even when everything we know is shattered, may we follow the Prince of Peace to the cross, to the empty tomb, and to resurrection and new life that has a peace that passes all understanding. We pray these things in Your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us, Facebook. We will see you live on Facebook next Sunday at 10 a.m. to celebrate that Jesus Christ is Lord.